I am six. I hear airplanes in the distance, and I am running towards a building for cover. I pass a baby in a carriage under a tree. I stop to look at her. She is wearing a pink bonnet, and her blue eyes look up at the sky. I can't see Father. Where is he? An airplane roars above. People are running. The baby starts crying. I don't know what to do. I try to stop several people to tell them about the baby, but they just rush past me. Suddenly, masses of planes thunder over the city. Father appears out of nowhere, running. He picks me up and carries me into the building and down the stairs to a cellar. Although there is whistling and crashing above us, it feels safer inside this dingy place, even though it smells of dampness and mold. The temporary shelter is crowded with people, some sitting on wooden benches, others on the floor. All look terrified. The men have their arms around the women and children. A woman is weeping. A child wails. Someone says that when you hear a long whistle, a bomb is about to fall on a building. We hear a whistle now, and I plug my ears and close my eyes. The whistle goes on and on. Will the bomb hit our building? There is a deafening crash, but when I open my eyes, we are still here. The bomb must have fallen somewhere else. As suddenly as it began, the grinding roar of the bomber subsides. All is still. No one moves. A woman rushes into the shelter, carrying a bloody bundle with a pink bonnet. She is young and pretty in a polka-dot dress, but her eyes are filled with tears. "My baby is dead," she cries, crumpling to the floor. We stare dumbly at her and at each other while she wails on the dusty floor. I listen to her sorrow, still seeing the baby's innocent blue eyes looking up at the sky. Father walks over to the woman and gently tries to help her up. Several women follow. One takes the bundle out of her arms. Another puts her arms around the woman's hunched shoulders and leads her out of the shelter. We walk out of the darkness of the cellar into daylight. It is the same warm autumn day outside, only now it's darker with the particles of gray dust and smoke from the burning buildings. The carriage under the tree is smashed. Pieces of fallen brick and steel lie all around us. I am frightened. What has happened to the rest of our family? We rush home to find that both mother and Basia are safe. But my mother's pale face scares me. She looks ill. "I was just having tea when the bombers came. We ran downstairs," she says. "Everyone was gathering in the courtyard, and when some people ran down to the cellar, we followed. It was horrid, just like the raid this morning. Basia cried the whole time." "I am sorry that we went home. I was very worried about you," replies Father, hugging her. The German army is getting closer to Warsaw. Masha stays, but our cook and maid leave for their homes in the villages. We are sad to see them go. The radio calls for all Poles, young and able, to join the Polish army to fight the Germans who have invaded Poland. Father says that he must join up, even though he doesn't want to leave his family. He promises to return soon. The day he leaves, Mother takes a thin gold bracelet off her wrist and gives it to him for good luck. When Father kisses us goodbye, both he and Mother have tears in their eyes. I look at them through a mist of tears blurring my eyes. We watch Father disappear down the corridor. Mother tells me to pack my brown suitcase with my most important things and some clothes as well, because we may have to leave at any time. I take two of my favorite books and my sunflower costume. Mother helps me pack and shakes her head, unable to understand why I need the costume. The days pass, and there is no word from Father. I am not allowed to go outside. After standing in line for hours, Mother brings home rationed bread and potatoes. The air raids continue to devastate the city. We seem to be constantly running to the shelters as the sirens sound. There is no water or electricity. We burn candles and carefully ration cans of preserves we keep in the pantry. We drink the syrup from the jars of fruit preserves, which we dilute with the water that Masha brings in a pail from the Vistula River. Everything seems to be in a state of terrible confusion. The windows are closed and the drapes drawn most of the time. It is so hot I can hardly breathe. Often, in the middle of the night, I wake up from nightmares screaming. The booming sounds of guns are heard all the time in the distance. Mother says that half the city is in ruins.